Stanley sits on a white plastic chair in the shadow of a large blue tent. All around him, people are chatting, laughing and shouting. A long queue is forming outside the tent. It is lunchtime at the Ebola treatment unit in Bong County, run by the Organization International Medical Corps. For Stanley, it is the first time on the side of the fence that runs some meters to the right of the tent. For the last couple of weeks, he had been confined to the other side, to the hot zone, where those infected with Ebola are treated. But this morning, Stanley was declared free of any virus. The 44-year-old has survived the deadly disease.
I got life in me, and I haven't eaten enough.
Stanley is now free to go, but before leaving the treatment center, he wants to say goodbye to his family. Together with Wahati, one of the psychosocial nurses, he walks a short way through the bush just next to the treatment center until they reach a large clearing. More than 80 fresh graves in neat rows cover the ground. In disbelief, Stanley stares at the eerie sight. Then he moves closer to the first row of graves. Half aloud, he reads the wooden signs that state the names, date of birth, and death of the deceased.
Your last one? Oh, okay.
The sight is too much for Stanley. The names on the signs are of his wife, three of his children, and some more members of the extended family. They're all victims of Ebola. Back in the yard of the treatment center, Stanley is lost.
As I'm sitting here, I got no family.
As I'm sitting here, I have no more family left. Really, I don't know where to go. I am frustrated now. I have no home.
He cannot go back to his home because the villagers do not want him there anymore, he says. Rumor even has it that they burned down his house because it was Stanley who had brought Ebola to their community.
My son was in Monrovia.
My son was in Monrovia. I went there and said, as there is no school now because of Ebola, let us go up so I can look for money and give it to you. Come and do business for the season. I am a sugar cane farmer. So he harvested the sugar cane. The next day, he told me his head was hurting. So I said, rest today. I bought some tablets and I gave them to him. After 2-3 days, he was getting worse. I myself did not suspect any signs or symptoms of Ebola.
I never suspected any sign and symptom of Ebola.
Stanley's 16-year-old son gets weaker by the day. The father suspects that the boy is possessed by a leopard spirit. Women from the village tend to the sick boy, crowd the room he's lying in, and administer the herbal remedies. Finally, Stanley decides to take his son to a hospital.
So I chartered a motorbike, put the boy over it. He was convulsing. I took him from the bike and laid him outside the house. I took alcohol and sponged him with it. Stay. And he died.
Stay. He died.
Stanley's village, Taylata, lies alongside a muddy dirt track 2 hours' drive from the Ebola treatment center. There are groups of small houses left and right of the road. In one small hut sits Peter, the chief of the village, at a wooden desk. A spray bottle of bleach in front of him, a poster stating Ebola is real, is pinned to the wall behind him. The chief has a different story to tell than Stanley. He says that Stanley got his son out of a house in Monrovia, which had been placed under quarantine after somebody had died there of Ebola. So the father knew that the son had been in close contact with an infected person. When he was told by some of the villagers that he should bring his son to a treatment center, Stanley would not hear of it. But whatever Stanley knew, his decision to bring his son to Taylata had a devastating effect on him and his community. 26 people contracted Ebola, 14 of which died, including Stanley's family and the wife of the village chief. The market stalls that take up large part of the village are empty. Taylata was placed under quarantine. A roadblock was set up. The villagers depend on NGOs to deliver food, as they cannot go to work, sell their produce, or buy rice in other villages. Just opposite the marketplace lies Stanley's house. It is still standing, no signs of arson. Outside in the yard sits an elderly woman crying. It is Stanley's mother-in-law. The disease passed by her but not by her daughter. Still, the village chief is willing to welcome Stanley back. The community will reconcile with him, but will not be able to be there for him, as they themselves have lost so many loved ones. He says that the widower will have to live with his conscience. Meanwhile, Stanley has made his way from the treatment center to Monrovia. His uncle Thomas has given him refuge. The tailor lives in a little hut just next door to his workshop in a crowded community.
Yes, we have problems. From the chairman, when he entered the forest.
We had problems when he came at first, but we were able to meet the community chairman and he saw his document. So from then on, I thought all was settled. But I had to keep talking to them. I kept saying, he has been set free. He is free of Ebola, so we can be with him, comfort him and talk to him.
Stanley does not yet know how long he will be staying with his uncle.
So now, I can't go to Taylor Ta now.
I cannot go to Taylor Ta now. If I go, some people might not like it. So it will be 2 or 3 years before I go back there. My mind is still disturbed. Imagine you lose 4 children, and my wife, that's 5 people. So I am still disturbed.
When confronted with the question if he took his son out of a house that had been quarantined, that he knew he had Ebola, Stanley acts defiant.
That is not true. He was not sick. He was not sick at all.
Benjamin, a neighbor of Stanley's uncle Thomas, can understand both sides.
I received a communication a few days back on the entire episode. That means that people blame him because they told him it was not the right forum at that time. He should still observe it, but because of likeness for his child, he wanted his child to be near him. And so people will not understand what it means that you lost a loved one. He never expected it to happen, but it was unfortunate. But looking at it logically, people are not satisfied because he has taken beyond control. Other people suffer. So they're holding him responsible and all of that. I think that is the best reason to change the environment, to come on this side and be here for a little while. Why the people will be consolidated in the mind and then he can rejoin it at a later time. But for now, it's not safe for him to be there.
Stanley's story shows the brutality of Ebola. The virus not only eradicates whole families, it also sows distrust among loved ones and splits up whole communities.